Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome to As It Is, a free, daily, 30-minute program designed to help you learn everyday American English. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz at the Voice of America's Learning English Branch Headquarters in Washington. Today on the program, we will tell you about a new documentary movie that tells about the fight against drug cartels on both sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. The movie follows two communities, one in each country, as they try to stop the criminals from continuing to damage their cities.
You listen to the scrambled radio traffic that they have, and you can hear the cartel talking about you. You can hear them pushing drugs through the valley.
Then, we will tell you about the theme song for the new James Bond movie. The song is called Writings on the Wall. Popular British singer Sam Smith calls it a classic love song. He wrote it with singer and record producer Jimmy Napes, who worked with Mr. Smith on the number one song, Stay With Me. Then, as always on Mondays, you will hear Jonathan Evans' technology report. This week, he tells us how pop singers are using music to light up African villages where there is no electricity.
1.3 billion people have no electricity. And so when I say that number, people often think, I mean to say a million. I mean, it's a sixth of the planet has zero electricity.
And as we do every weekday, we will present The Making of a Nation. Every day here at VOA Learning English, we bring you news from and about America and the world. And we tell you the often surprising and always interesting history of the United States. We're on the radio, on the web, and we come to you on a podcast. We are wherever you are. We're the Voice of America. A new movie follows two communities, one in the United States and the other in Mexico, as they try to stop drug cartels from harming their cities. Matthew Heineman is the director of the documentary movie called Cartel Land. It tells about the work of cartels, businesses or criminals that take part in illegal activity to make money. It is late at night. Criminals are making drugs in the desert in the western Mexican state of Michoacán. Matthew Heineman says he filmed the men as they were making methamphetamine, a powerful drug also called meth.
The head chef, the head cook, the head of this operation started showing me around the process of cooking meth with this little flashlight. And with this little flashlight is what I ended up lighting the scene with.
The movie shows the lives of members of the drug cartels and members of the community groups on both sides of the border. The community groups are fighting the criminals who have damaged their neighborhoods.
You know, in Mexico, the violence is visceral, it's real. 80,000 people killed since 2007. 20,000 plus people disappeared since 2007.
The documentary says much of the violence is centered in Michoacán. Dr. Jose Mireles is a leader of a group of people in Mexico who are fighting the drug cartels. He says there is a law called an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. The movie shows people in Michoacan who are tired of the fear and corruption that have affected their towns. It says the Mexican army is trying to take back control of the state from the cartels and reestablish the rule of law. Soldiers take weapons from people living there. This angers the residents, who believe they need the weapons to defend themselves against the cartel. She says, if this happened to you, you would be on our side. Mr. Heinemann says the drug cartels would not exist if there was no demand for meth. The meth cook told Matthew Heinemann that the United States is where the most drugs are sold, all over the U.S. Tim Foley is a veteran of the United States Army. He lives on the American side of the border in Arizona. He has formed a group to fight the drug cartels.
Fire!
Back in the day, vigilante wasn't a bad thing. Say the bandits was riding into your town, the townspeople would all get together and, you know, defend their town.
Mr. Foley and his group capture illegal immigrants. He believes some of those he detains are smuggling illegal drugs into the U.S. He brings the captured immigrants to the border police.
This is what I consider to be the Wild Wild West. There is nothing down here. There's no law. I'm supposed to be able to pick up my telephone and go, 911, come help us.
Mr. Heinemann says the drug cartels know how to smuggle meth across the border and into the United States.
You look up on the hillsides and there's cartel scouts looking down on you. You know, you listen to the scrambled radio traffic that they have, and you can hear the cartel talking about you. You can hear them pushing drugs through the valley.
Mr. Heinemann says U.S. Border Patrol officers do not believe they have enough people and money to fight the smugglers. When it comes to a James Bond movie, we have been taught that it must have a lot of action and a great theme song. Marcia James is here now to tell us about the theme song for the latest Bond movie.
It is sung by British singer and Grammy-winning songwriter Sam Smith. The 23-year-old singer made the announcement on the social media site Twitter. He tweeted, "This is one of the highlights of my career. I am honored to finally announce that I will be singing the next Bond theme song. It is the first James Bond theme song recorded by a British male solo artist since 1965. The song is called Writings on the Wall. Sam Smith says it is a classic love song. He wrote the song with singer and record producer Jimmy Napes, who worked with him on the number one hit song, Stay With Me. Over the years, other singers like Adele, Madonna, and Tina Turner have recorded the theme song for other James Bond movies. Shirley Bassey managed a three-peat. She recorded three theme songs for the popular movies. They are Goldfinger, Diamonds Are Forever, and Moonraker. I'm Marcia James.
The song Writings on the Wall was released as a single last Friday. Spectre, the movie, will be released October 26th in Britain and November 6th in the United States.
From VOA,
Learning English. This is the Technology Report. Pop singer Raghav Mathur is using his music to light up African villages where there is no electricity. The song is called Until the Sun Comes Up.
All I hear is bucket fans and maybes. Oh, I can feel it in the air tonight.
If you listen to the words of the song, you might think the piece is just dance music. But it is helping to change the lives of school children in a small African village in Tanzania. The Canadian Indian singer says he wanted to help others when he learned that more than 1 billion people live without electric power.
1.3 billion people have no electricity. And so when I say that number, people often think, I mean to say a million. I mean, it's a sixth of the planet has zero electricity. And until you go there, and not just go there, but experience or hear the stories of the negative experiences through the kerosene industry, you can't really totally understand the impact.
Raghav teamed with Solar Aid, a nonprofit group working to end the use of kerosene lamps. Working together, they presented 320 solar-powered lights to school children in Tanzania. Raghav says he got the idea from watching an old YouTube video.
They take a bucket of water and they put it in a village in like India or Bangladesh or somewhere, in what is clearly an impoverished village. And in it, they've put a light. And I think at first people kind of look at it like, you know, what is this hanging around here? And throughout the YouTube video, you see people start coming up to it, playing with it, and the joy that it creates. And I thought, well, what a great way to depict joy if we could incorporate that in like a pop record.
He made a video for the song with help from the American rap artist Nelly and Indian movie star Abhishek Bachchan. In the video, they filmed the reaction of the students when they received the lights. Raghav says that the happiness on the children's faces in the video is real. There was no staging or theatrics.
Their idea of in their homes or in the school would have been the use of kerosene. And when the sun went down, that's the climax of the video. They kind of started partying. It wasn't choreographed and it wasn't shot to be a music video. They just were having such a great time.
The lights will help the students study for more than 375,000 hours. That will save their parents nearly $60,000 on the cost of kerosene oil and candles. Raghav says he hopes the video raises interest in the need for electric power in the developing world, especially south of the Sahara.
600 million of the 1.3 billion that have no electricity are in Africa. Obviously, I've toured extensively throughout Southeast Asia and have, I imagine, the rest are all throughout India and Bangladesh and Pakistan and Sri Lanka and all over. So people, but Africa's a funny one. People don't really seem to really care in the mainstream about what happens there. So hopefully we can change that.
He also says he hopes his song and the video will motivate other musicians to become socially active and aware. I'm Jonathan Evans.
Thanks, Jonathan. That's our program for today. We hope it has informed and entertained you and has helped you learn everyday American English. We would love to hear from you. Please write us. Our email address is learningenglish@voanews.com. That's learningenglish@voanews.com. And please know this, we read every message you send us. The Making of a Nation is coming up next. I'm Christopher Jones-Cruz at the VOA Learning English Headquarters in Washington. We'll be back tomorrow at this same time to help you learn everyday American English with another broadcast, webcast, and podcast edition of As It Is from the Voice of America.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History for People Learning English. I'm Steve Ember. The national election of 1832 put Andrew Jackson in the White House for a second term as president. One of the major events of his second term was the fight against the Bank of the United States. In 1836, the bank's charter ended, and the Treasury Department took responsibility for most of the government's finances. Many people considered Jackson's bank veto one of the most important actions of his presidency. Another major event of Andrew Jackson's second term as president involved Texas. The United States had given its claim to Texas to Spain in 1819. Then Mexico won its independence from Spain in 1821. After that, Texas belonged to Mexico. During the 1820s, Americans poured into Texas. Most of the settlers came from the states of Tennessee, Mississippi, and Louisiana. Many owned slaves and brought the slaves with them to Texas. American settlers in Texas were able to buy land for almost nothing, but they had to promise to join the Roman Catholic Church. They also had to promise to obey the laws of Mexico. Over time, Mexican leaders saw the danger of continuing to permit Americans to settle in Texas. The Mexican government sent an official to inspect conditions along the border with the United States. The official reported that as he traveled north through Texas, he saw less and less that was Mexican and more that was American. He said there were very few Mexicans in some towns, and these Mexicans, he said, were extremely poor. He said the American settlers were not becoming true Mexicans. They were not speaking Spanish. They were not becoming Catholics, and they were not accepting Mexican traditions. The official said the situation in Texas could throw the whole Mexican nation into revolution. He urged Mexico to send troops to occupy Texas. The situation between the settlers and the Mexican government became increasingly tense. For the most part, there was little that President Andrew Jackson could do. The United States had a friendship treaty with Mexico. The government in Washington had a duty to remain neutral. In April 1833, the settlers in Texas held a convention. They prepared a list of appeals to the leader of Mexico, General Santa Anna. One of the Americans, Stephen Austin, carried the appeals to Mexico City. He spent 6 months negotiating with the Mexican government. General Santa Anna promised to honor all the requests except one. He would not make Texas a Mexican state, although he said that might be possible someday. Stephen Austin was satisfied. He left the Mexican capital to return to Texas. On his way home, to his surprise, Austin was arrested. He was arrested because of a letter he had written earlier. He had written it when his negotiations with Mexican officials seemed to be failing. He had said it might be best if the people declared Texas an independent state. Austin was put in prison in Mexico City for a year and a half. Stephen Austin urged the people of Texas to remain loyal to Mexico. But talk of rebellion had already begun. The settlers were calling themselves Texans. In November 1835, representatives from all parts of Texas held a convention to discuss the situation. They had no plans to take Texas out of the Mexican Republic. In fact, a proposal to do that was defeated by a large vote. However, the Texans took action to protect themselves against Santa Anna, who had declared himself dictator. They organized a temporary state government. They also organized a state army, and they made plans for another convention. Before the Texans could meet again, Santa Anna led an army of 7,000 men across the Rio Grande River into Texas. The first soldiers reached San Antonio on February 23rd. The Texas forces withdrew to an old Spanish mission church called the Alamo. On March 1st, the Second Texas Convention opened. This time, the representatives voted to declare Texas a free, independent, and sovereign republic. They wrote a constitution based on the Constitution of the United States. They created a government. David Burnett became president. Sam Houston was to continue as commander of Texas forces. On the second day of the convention, a letter came from the Alamo in San Antonio. The letter was addressed to the people of Texas and all Americans. The commander of Texas forces at the Alamo, Lieutenant Colonel William Barrett Travis, wrote, "I am besieged by 1,000 or more of the Mexicans under Santa Anna. I have sustained a continual bombardment and cannonade for 24 hours and have not lost a man. The enemy has demanded a surrender at discretion. Otherwise, the garrison are to be put to the sword if the fort is taken. I have answered the demand with a cannon shot, and our flag still waves proudly from the walls. I shall never surrender or retreat." The letter from the Alamo closed with the words, "Victory or death." Representatives at the convention wanted to leave immediately to go to the aid of the Texans at the Alamo. But Sam Houston told them it was their duty to remain and create a government for Texas. Houston would go there himself with a small force. The help came too late for the 189 men, perhaps even more, at the Alamo. The defenders included some Tejanos, or Hispanic Texans, and the famed frontiersman Davy Crockett. Santa Anna's forces captured the mission on March 6th. When the battle ended, not a single one of the defenders was still alive. Sam Houston ordered all Texas forces to withdraw to the northeast, away from the Mexican army. One group of Texans did not move fast enough. Santa Anna trapped them. He said the Texans would not be harmed if they surrendered. They did. 1 week later, they were marched to a field and shot. Only a few escaped to tell the story. Santa Anna then moved against Sam Houston. He was sure his large army could defeat the remaining Texas force. President Andrew Jackson and Sam Houston were close friends. When told of Houston's retreat, the president pointed to a map of Texas. He said, "If Sam Houston is worth anything, he will make his stand here." Jackson pointed to the mouth of the San Jacinto River. The Battle of San Jacinto began at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. There were about 800 Texans. There were twice as many Mexicans. The Mexicans did not expect the retreating Texans to turn and fight, but they did. Shouting, "Remember the Alamo," the Texans ran at the Mexican soldiers. 18 minutes later, the battle was over. Santa Anna's army was destroyed. On May 14, 1836, Texas President David Burnett and General Santa Anna signed a treaty. The treaty made Texas independent from Mexico. Historian Daniel Feller says President Jackson had to be careful when responding to the situation in Texas.
Whether or not Jackson approved of the insurrection in Texas, whether or not he saw it as complicating or easing the path toward eventual assimilation of Texas, there's no doubt that he wanted Texas as part of the United States.
Jackson did not want Mexico to blame the United States for the revolution, even though the American government had been trying to buy Texas for many years. Jackson believed the country should spread as far west as it could. But he also worried that giving statehood to Texas would deepen the split between the northern and southern states. Texas would be a state where slavery was permitted. For this reason, the anti-slavery leaders in the North strongly opposed Texas statehood. Jackson told a representative from Texas, William Wharton, that there was a way that statehood for Texas would bring the North and South together instead of splitting them apart. Jackson said Texas should claim California. The fishing interests of the North and East, said Jackson, wanted a port on the Pacific coast. Offer it to them, the president said, and they will soon forget that Texas is a slave state. Jackson and Wharton held this discussion just 3 weeks before the end of the president's term. Wharton spent much time at the White House. He also worked with congressmen, urging the lawmakers to recognize Texas. He was able to get Congress to include in a bill a statement permitting the United States to send a minister to Texas. This bill was approved 4 days before the end of Jackson's term. On the afternoon of March 3, 1837, Jackson agreed to recognize the new republic led by his old friend, Sam Houston. 9 years would pass before Texas became an American state. Jackson's presidency was almost over. I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us next time for The Making of a Nation, American History from VOA Learning English.